This year earlier, in this building, we had a series focusing on belonging. At that time, we were focusing on what it means to be a citizen of heaven, what it means to be a citizen of a nation on earth, and then we did focus on the church in particular then as being a home on earth for believers. But now in this series, which is once again focusing on belonging and what it means to belong, we're honing in on what it means to be part of a local church and God's design for that. Last week we were in Ephesians chapter 2, and we saw there some answer to the question of what does it mean to belong? What is God's design? And the passage ended, the end of that chapter, Ephesians 2:22, going from metaphors that referred to both the universal church and the local church to Paul addressing the local church in particular. So that final verse in our passage last week was, "In him, Christ, you, that would be the local church, are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." So today, we are once again focusing in particular on the local church and what it means to join, to become part of a specific church family. And so we are talking about an area that the New Testament assumes so throughout the narrative and the epistles that in some ways it's a challenge, because a lot of times, of course, the Bible takes subjects on very directly head on, but this is one that's interwoven throughout all the epistles and the narrative and Acts of how God designed the local church. Nevertheless, we can see some clear patterns that apply to us today. But let's ask for God's help as we engulf on this subject. Lord, I do pray that the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart would be acceptable to you. I pray that you would enlighten the eyes of our hearts to see you, your wisdom, your truth, and that your word would be rightly understood as it applies to us, and that we would have hearts to do it. Amen. So the specific focus today, joining the team. And here's the big idea. God has designed his global church all around the world to be grouped into many local churches, each of which function as a unique combat unit, serving God's special purpose in their time and their place. The universal church is the church around the whole world and all of history. The local church is one combat unit in God's plan. So last week we heard about what does it mean to belong, and we learned that connection to a local church is assumed in the New Testament when a believer is born. And just to illustrate, though, the need for that connection, imagine the following. Imagine today after our service, you drove to the park to take a walk. You enjoyed a beautiful afternoon in the park. But when you returned to your car, you found this 9-year-old boy throwing eggs at it. And you were alarmed. You're like, "Hey, stop that." And he says, "No." He just, you know, has a good supply of eggs there. He continues smashing them onto your car. And so you approach him to stop him, and he takes a knife out of his pocket. You're like, "What?" So now you're about 100 pounds heavier than he is, so you're pretty sure you could easily overpower him, take care of this. But then also a small crowd has began to gather, and so it's going to be caught on film by, you know, 5 or 6 people. You're just not sure how that's going to look when there's this big guy or an adult overpowering a 9-year-old. So what do? You could call the police, you know, yeah. And that might be the best way. But the obvious question is, who are this kid's parents? And where are this kid's parents? Right? Yes. Now, to know who this kid is and how to deal with him, you would be best served by knowing who he belongs to. And why is that? It's because without clearly defined lines of care and jurisdiction and responsibility, there can't be health or order in any community. So, the same illustration could be made by contrasting the varying rights of citizens from different countries. So years ago, I was traveling with the team in Europe, and we were doing a whirlwind tour of various cities from Budapest, and Vienna, and Prague. But when we got into Poland, we hit a problem because we were traveling by train through the night, making good time, trying to get as much packed into several days as possible. But two members of our team were from New Zealand. And so when the checkpoint security asked for their IDs and found that out, most of us could travel on, but they were not allowed to. So we got out at that train station, spent hours of the night there. I started falling asleep on the bench and was prodded by another guard, not allowed to fall asleep in the station on the bench. The next morning, we set out to get their passage approved and then found out that the local office for dealing with the passport or visa was closed for a holiday. So as it turned out, those two members of our team had to go back and the rest of us could continue as we were going to visit Auschwitz. So what we experienced, very simply, was that not all citizenships enjoyed the same privileges. And that, too, is a parallel to the theme of belonging to a church. Local churches are meant to designate for the world who is a citizen of heaven, who it is who represents Christ. So just because someone says that they are a follower of Jesus doesn't mean that they truly are. You know, in American culture, it is common for people to profess that they are Christians, even though their lifestyle may strongly suggest otherwise. And so Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven." And then he promised that in the end, he would tell many pseudo-disciples, "Depart from me, I never knew you." So, of course, ultimately, only God knows those who are his. He's the only one who searches the minds and hearts and knows everything. But in the present, local churches have the responsibility to validate citizenship. Local churches are like embassies that God has designated to affirm that their members have the same citizenship in common, which is citizenship in heaven. Our focus today is joining a particular body, becoming a member of a local church body. We're going to talk about the necessity of belonging to a body, the condition, and then the process. So the necessity really relates to what we already focused on last week, some review, but one among many passages that illustrate it is Hebrews 13:17. That verse states, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account." So, members of a flock need to know who their shepherd is. And of course, they can learn from others, they can be helped by others, but the responsibility, the command, there in Hebrews 13:17, the command to obey, respect, and submit applies specifically to leaders of one particular flock. So by analogy, imagine if children thought that the command to obey their parents meant they were to obey all parents. How confusing. So many different guidelines, rules. So to obey parents or submit to leaders, you need to know who they are specifically. And on the flip side, under shepherds of Christ, as they're referred to in another passage, need to know who their sheep are. Who do they have the special responsibility to care for and protect? Who do they have the authority to discipline? So it's good to love all children, but parents have a unique obligation to care for and protect their children. And this reality points to why God has designed all of his children to belong and be vitally connected to a specific church family. The necessity. That takes us, though, to the condition. In John 10, verse 14, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me, as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. The essential condition of becoming part of a church is being a follower of Jesus, being one of his sheep. Or to put it another way, the condition of joining an embassy of Christ's kingdom is being a subject of the King. So functionally, this involves professing faith in Christ and being baptized by someone who can validate that profession. Jesus told the Apostle Peter toward the end of the Gospel of John that if he loved him, he would feed his sheep. His sheep in particular. So leaders in a church have a particular responsibility to feed and protect the sheep as opposed to everyone. Yes, love your neighbor, but leaders have responsibility toward the sheep, and in particular the sheep in their flock. So that's why the Apostle Peter went on to write in 1 Peter chapter 5, "Shepherd God's flock among you," he told the elders. All right, so the essential condition of being part of a church family is being part of God's family. And being a member of a particular flock requires being one of Christ's sheep. In the New Testament, the pattern is when someone comes to faith in Christ, they're baptized to publicly identify their belonging to Christ and then join a local body of Christ. Now, back when the church was first begun, conditions are very different than in our culture today. But they're not so different than many other places in the world. Identifying with Christ and joining with other Christians could be very costly, just like it is today in many parts of the world. So why wouldn't people just quietly believe in Jesus and keep it to themselves? Because one sign that you truly have believed in Jesus, not just believed facts in your head about him, but believed to the depth of your heart, is that you are willing to suffer for his sake. And you want to identify with his people. So the fact that believers were willing to be baptized and join a local church during the reign of Rome was an immediate evidence that they understood that following Jesus might cost them everything, but he was worth it. And that's true today. That brings us, though, to the process. So the essential condition of being part of a particular flock is being one of Christ's sheep. And that brings us to the process of becoming part of a particular flock. Across history and across the world today, the way that joining a church plays out can look very different from one local church to another and from one body to another. One of the factors that causes most variation is the ease or difficulty of validating a person's profession of faith. Anyone can visit a congregation, but members are meant to be believers. If you live in a part of the world where becoming part of a Christian church could mean you'll lose your job, or that you might have your house burnt down, or be beaten, or killed, then there's a high likelihood that your profession is genuine. And so the process can be a lot simpler. And if you want to join, it's likely because you truly believe that Jesus is Savior and Lord, and he is returning to judge the earth when the stakes are high. But on the other hand, if you live in a place where being part of a church will cause some people to look at you more favorably, or where it's just easier to find the kind of guy or girl you like there, or maybe it will help your political ambitions, or give you a better sales network, or easy tax breaks, it might take more to find out if you really understand and believe the gospel and are a true follower of Jesus. So historically, in some parts of the world where Christianity becomes more like a civil religion, a tradition, then it can be harder to know do these people understand the gospel? Are they really a sheep? Or is it mere tradition or a way of getting some perks? So because of these greatly varying factors, joining a church can look very different in some places than others. But what the process has in common is validating someone's faith and then a mutual commitment from there. So in the coming weeks, the elders want to carefully discern, decide, and communicate the specific practices that would be best for this church body. So after today, you may have questions about application to our church, and we want you to ask those, and we want to address those. But today, I want to lay out some basics that we believe should be involved in anyone joining as a member of any church body in a way that fits the pattern of the New Testament. To be clear, we're not talking about who is welcome to walk through the doors on a Sunday, or to participate in weekly gatherings, or to attend a small group for that matter. Visitors are always welcome. If you're not a believer in Jesus, we're still very glad that you're here. We welcome one and all to be with us and observe how we as followers of Jesus join in worshiping Him through singing, through listening to His word, through prayer, through the Lord's Supper together. So we love having visitors with us, whether they're believers from other bodies or those who are observing what we do as Christians without sharing the same faith. All are welcome. So when we talk about joining a body, we aren't talking about just attending a gathering. Our doors are open wide to visitors. But visiting a family gathering does not make someone a part of the family. So how does someone become part of a specific church family? You can look at it from the elder's perspective or the member's perspective. So first, briefly, from the elder's perspective, the process involves making sure someone understands the gospel and is a genuine believer, and then committing to their care and discipleship. You can imagine this expressing the sentiment, yes, you do have the mark of a subject of the king. Welcome to the embassy. We will care for you, guard you, and help you become all that the king intends you to be. So that's the elder's perspective. Leaders have the sacred responsibility to watch over the members of their particular body. And this means we need to know who is a part of it. We're told we're going to give an account to God for our work. But how does joining the team look like from a member's perspective? Let me lay out a healthy process that local churches should have in common in these three steps. Number one is identification with Christ, with Jesus. And I've already emphasized this. The first necessity of being a member of a local body should be identification with Christ. So through faith, an individual becomes joined to Christ and to His spiritual body. And then in obedience, a person publicly identifies with Jesus through baptism. And that's the sign of faith in Him. So first step out of these three is identification with Jesus. The second one is identification with the church. So a believer recognizes that a local church is proclaiming the only true Christ through which he or she receives salvation, and that church is faithfully communicating God's word and applying it. Now, once again, in some parts of the world, there might only be one local church in an area, and it will be natural for an individual who comes to Christ to join that church. Pretty simple. But think about that in today's modern time, even if that was the case, it would be possible for an individual with internet and satellite TV to come to Christ without any direct interaction with the local body. And then he would still need to evaluate whether a local church was a genuine Church of Christ or a cult. So this step still applies, whether there's one church in your area or 50, that of identifying if this church is followers of Christ who are proclaiming the true gospel. And what identification with the church means is discerning if this is a body of genuine believers with whom you can share fellowship, and one where the gospel of grace is faithfully proclaimed and exalted. The Christian fellowship is not based on background or nationality or demographics, but on loving and serving the same Savior. So those first two steps, identification with Jesus, identification with a church, yes, we have Christ in common. The gospel is being proclaimed faithfully and applied faithfully. Thirdly, is the step of commitment. After someone comes to Christ and identifies a local body of Christ that is faithfully proclaiming him, there should be a commitment to a particular body. In Jesus' farewell discourse to his disciples, he repeatedly expressed this command to his disciples: love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, and he laid down his life for his friends. Where does that take place? What does this look like in typical life? Think about the fact that Jesus demonstrated his love for the whole world and for all of his spiritual family by the life he lived with his own particular circle. So as a human being with human limitations on earth, Jesus' perfect love was expressed in living in close proximity to a particular group of people. There's love that can be expressed in an immediate sphere that can't be expressed to people who aren't in it. So Jesus' love for all people was expressed in his specific commitment to his disciples. And it's the same way with us. So if you care about the world, love those in your sphere well. You know, love your spouse, love your family, love your church. After someone comes to Christ and identifies a local body that is faithfully proclaiming Christ, there should be a commitment to that particular body. This commitment involves submitting to the leadership and instruction of the leaders and caring for other members of that particular body. Church life involvement can look different in some ways for each member. But the bottom line in becoming part of a particular church is a commitment to obey God by submitting to the leaders under God's word and caring for other members of it. So joining a church is a way of saying, I want to pursue God with you. I want to follow Jesus and walk by the Spirit next to you. I am with you. I want to worship with you, support you, work with you, and fight side by side with you. Some of you might remember hearing about the rescue of a soldier, Private First Class, named Jessica Lynch during the Iraq War in 2003. She was a 19-year-old who was captured as part of a convoy that was ambushed, and her vehicle crashed, and she sustained serious injuries. And because of the extent of her injuries, she was taken to an Iraqi hospital separated from some other captured soldiers. Once her whereabouts were discovered, the Joint Special Forces, composed of the Marines, Army Rangers, and Navy SEALs, stormed the hospital and rescued her. And she eventually made it safely home to the U.S., where she was cared for and she was awarded for her role in the conflict. And you can read about that whole experience. She eventually worked on a book and talked about her experience. But the question is, why did so many highly trained professionals risk their lives to rescue one individual. It's because she was part of the team. They were in the same war, in the same army, on the same side. So their commitment to her well-being was an unquestionable priority. How much more are these things true of a church family? God has designed each local church to function as a unique combat unit, which serves His special purpose in their place and their time. So like signing up to join an army, you join because you believe and you love. And with a church family, you commit because you love. And then you love because you committed. So it is important to evaluate if a local church is faithfully and accurately teaching God's word, and if the leaders are leading in humility and love rather than abusing their position. It's important to discern if we can embrace a church's vision. But once we commit to a church, our relationship to it is completely different than, say, being part of a fitness club. It's not like being a fan of a sports team. We don't love these people because of their great perks and service. We're not in because of the unbeatable membership benefits. We don't love this team because of its incredible skill and high chances of winning the championship. We love it because it's ours. We love it because Christ does. We love it not because it has arrived, but to help make it all that Christ intends for it to be. He said, "This I command you, that you love one another as I have loved you." This love involves a profound commitment to each other. If you think about it, in our culture of broken families and superficial relationships, where in the world are people meant to experience that kind of care and commitment? They're meant to find it in the local church. Where does this kind of commitment come from? Certainly not from our culture. We live in a quitting culture. We are a people of fair weather fans. You know, if the going gets hard, you quit. If a friendship is stressful, you back away. If a situation is unpleasant, it's clearly time to get out of it. If a relationship is very difficult, it's time to end it. But this is not like the Christ that we know. This is not how He has treated us. Jesus is the good shepherd who laid down His life for His annoying and straying sheep. No pain or mistreatment could break His commitment to us, not even death. Jesus is the King who laid down His life for friends who let Him down, deny Him, and forsake Him. That's what those disciples did. Greater love has no one than this. Jesus is the one whose commitment led Him to death and then through death to triumphant resurrection. If you are Christ's sheep, then His commitment to you is invincible and unbreakable. And that is the pattern and the power for ours to His flock. Now, there are definitely times when it is appropriate to move from one flock to another one. For example, negatively, if a church isn't faithfully teaching God's word, or if there's abusive leadership, for sure. Or positively, if God calls you and you are sent from one mission field to a different one. There are other appropriate reasons for moving from one flock to a different flock. But in whatever church family God has us, Loving as Jesus has loved us means being all in. Being committed to our particular family with all of its foibles. We are not consumers. We are soldiers. The church is like a combat unit deployed in an active war. We don't know how things are going to go, but we know the goal we are pursuing. We know the ones that we've chosen to pursue it with. So our attitude can be, yes, the opposition might be fierce. The injuries and setbacks may be serious. But I am privileged to lay down my life with you in the cause of our great King. Come what may, I will fight alongside you. We are a family of soldiers. We are a unit of soldiers who are a family. So, brothers and sisters, Christ has called you to love your church. As he loved his close disciples, so he has called you to love the group he's put you in. Recognize God's call related to your particular church, to worship him with these people, to learn and grow with these people, to love and care for these people, to fulfill God's mission with these people. Next week, we're going to focus on what it means to live as part of the team, to fulfill our role as a member of the body, being a member. But today and right now, let's praise God for the privilege of belonging to a particular family with a special part to play in his story. Let's join together in the prayer. We are your church. Here we are. Fulfill your purpose through us. Amen. Let's join. I do praise you, Lord, for your design of the church family to be a place where we experience home on earth, where we experience the opportunity to lay down our lives for one another in practical and challenging ways. Praise you, Lord, though, that you have done that for us, all who are your sheep, in a way that surpasses anything you call us to do. So, Lord, help us join as your church. Be the flock that you designed us to be. Fulfill the purpose you have for us in your great story. Give us commitment to one another, Lord, like yours to us. Amen.